Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Hey. Well, we got lots to talk about today. We'll go over this, whatever you call this. It's not an impeachment hearing. It's an inquiry into whether or not to have an impeachment hearing. It is going absolutely no place. This Sonderland, this is riveting. He comes on and he says, you got to admit, this Vindman yesterday was an embarrassment. Just embarrassing. I mean, you just look at that and you go, Newman. He's just, I have it up on Twitter if you want to look at it. There's a number of war heroes that have come out to denounce this guy as a prissy little embarrassment.
Ooh.
So.
Well, look, Sondland was not insignificant today.
I think in the long run, he's insignificant. He's basically another, he's the highest ranking of these employees. For 3-4 days, you've been looking at clerks, literally just clerks. From what I understand, Vindman has to share a stapler. He doesn't even get his own stapler. There's one for like those four cubicles. So,
you know, all these people that came before him, yeah, I heard about this, somebody told me, and, you know, that wasn't really compelling. This guy was in the middle of it.
I'll tell you, one thing has come out of the first 3 days of the hearings, and I know this, in the White House, officials who are in charge of this have been demanding, what the hell are these idiot clerks doing on the call? And from now on, they're not allowed on any calls anymore. They had no business being on the call. They had no reason to be listing anything. They're not involved in anything. They have no role in anything. They have no authority on any. Now, I thought about what when I was watching this. You ever watch that Undercover Boss show?
Yeah.
Where the boss goes in it. But this, Schiff is onto something here. This could be some kind of reality show for Bravo, where you get all the underlings, the lowest employees, and they all come on and talk about what, how the boss is wrong, the boss is stupid, his policy is wrong, what they don't like about the boss. It might be great TV. On a practical basis, you'd have a problem because who's going to sponsor it? You know, you can't attack companies that could be sponsors.
Right, yeah.
Then you got to worry about these guys being sued or something. But I guess you could do it with mom and pop stores. They're not going to be advertisers.
That's a good concept.
It's actually not a bad concept. You take the lowest underlings, like this Vindman, just little idiots from their cubicles who come on and denounce the chairman of the board of the company.
Well, it is a little strange. I mean, you know, you got these cubicle guys listening in these phone calls, and they don't like the president's strategy, and so they go run to Democrats in the House.
So first thing that's come out of this, in the White House, now they're going to clean this up. None of these meaningless underlings will be on the phone calls. There's no reason they should have been on the phone calls. And when you ask, you know, this is Vindman, you get to think of what a thrill this is. You know, in the White House, nobody would listen to him. He's never met the president. Nobody would ever talk to him in the White House or ask him anything. This, what a thrill for this guy to be on national television, on 8 networks at once, wall-to-wall coverage of every word he has to say. And major congressman saying to him, what did you think of that comment?
I thought it was inappropriate.
You did? Yes. I mean, this, what a moment for this guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Imagine if you just took that guy outside with that coffee cart, put him on national television, and let him give his opinion on everything to the whole world. It's a big moment for this guy. And I assume the committee paid the dry cleaning bill. That uniform hasn't been worn in years. They had to press it for him. It was just absolutely ridiculous. And it went on till like 7 o'clock. Now, most TV stations dumped out of it about 5.
Right.
They just stopped covering it. They wanted to go to their local news. But they still went on and on and on for many, many hours. There were like 17 witnesses. And the basic conclusion was, and they all agreed, the transcript you've read is totally accurate. That was the call.
Mm-hmm.
That was the call. So Sonderland is the ambassador. Now, he's above these guys because he has an actual job. If Vindman were to go on What's My Line, the panel wouldn't be able to figure out what he did for a living, even after he told them. They still wouldn't know what this guy does. I don't even know, on his income tax, how does he answer that first question? Occupation.
Lieutenant Colonel.
that was the only good moment of the hearing, when the guy called him Mr. Vindman. This is the other thing. A lot of military guys are attacking him for that. You don't do that. They said it's embarrassing the military. If the guy accidentally calls you Mr., that's fine.
Mr. Vindman, You testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Ooh.
Mr. Vindman.
Hey, wait a minute. I'm a lieutenant colonel.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Hey, Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
What a yutz. They should have just dismissed him. That guy should have just said, listen, you fat yutz, answer the question. So, hey, by the way, I think I know what's wrong with the president.
Okay. Yesterday you said it was plaque.
Well, that's an ongoing problem, and okay. It's not a serious thing. Everybody has it when you get over 70. You got plaque, and you got to keep an eye on that, and they put you on some, what do you call that?
Crestor.
He's covering it up when he talks on the air, but he has a very bad cold. I think he doesn't like anybody to know he has a cold. But off camera, he's very nasal. He has a cold. He's had it for 3 days.
Well, see, that could be problematic then.
Well, I think that test Saturday might have had something to do with it. He's all nasal and stuffy in real life. So what could that mean? Maybe, but anything with a cold, the White House doctor in the White House office could do that.
That's right, yeah. I mean, if he just needed like a B2 shot or B3 or whatever they give you for colds.
The only thing, though, sometimes when you get a bad cold or it's deep in your lungs, because I went through that once where you get an X-ray at the doctor's office, but it couldn't detect what you had. You got to go to a hospital, get some kind of more serious X-ray where they can find if it's a little microorganism in your lungs or something. He may have had to go to get like a serious chest X-ray or something.
You know, there was the other theory that the president was kind of, he had nothing to do. He couldn't golf. The impeachment thing was driving him crazy. So the aide said, let's get him to the doctor. Let's take him to the doctor to do this thing. Just give him something to do.
That could be. That does happen. That could be. But he does have, for the last couple of days, a pretty bad cold. So, and I'm just hearing him all nasal and stuffy. So I don't know, cold, flu, maybe some pneumonia. They might have taken him there for real chest X-ray. But you're right. He does do that. Guys like him do that. If there's nothing to do on Saturday, it's two things. One, they got to have something to do, and they want to go out and mingle. The most awful part of the White House, he said this, every president has said this, is you're like a prisoner. You're a prisoner. You're trapped in this prison. You can't get out. I remember Bill Clinton once looking out the window. He's president. He's looking at, from the Oval Office, you can see the sidewalk. And he said, you know how lucky those people are? I said, what do you mean? He said, they can walk around. They're outside walking around. He goes, this is like, what do you call it? He goes, this is the most fancy penal institution in the federal prison system. It's like a prison. You can't get out. So that's one reason they do those rallies. Reagan had the same. Reagan got so restless. Ed Rollins said they tried to schedule him 2 rallies a week. They would just pick places they could fly to and back in the same night. So that could be. Because if you go to Walter Reed, while he was there, he walked around for 40 minutes into different rooms, shaking hands. He loved to just get out and mingle and talk to people. And when he was in New York, he did that all the time. And some he would do constantly. You're right. If there was a Saturday, he'd go visit one of his properties. Supposedly to look it over, but it was a chance to talk to everybody. So that could, partly the cold, partly talking to everybody. So Sonderland will tell. How long does this go? Is there other witnesses or him all day?
No, there's several other witnesses to follow him.
So
this is the bombshell, though, Mark. This is it. This is the bombshell.
This is the bombshell.
No, that's what the headline says. I'm seeing a bombshell.
You know, you got a couple of things that come out of this. Did he withhold aid, military aid? Which will bring up the question of why did Obama deliberately withhold military aid for 8 years when they really needed it, when it was crucial, when they were being invaded? You remember when Russia took part of the Ukraine, Crimea? Obama withheld military aid. I know he sent them blankets, but he refused to arm them or send them military aid at the moment they needed it, when Russia invaded. You know, if you really looked at Obama's relationship with Putin, he looked the other way when they seized part of the Ukraine. He did nothing. And you remember when Russia shot down that commercial jetliner?
Oh, yeah.
Obama looked the other way, never said a peep. Now, I don't think he was colluding. Most people think he was just frightened. He just didn't want to tangle with Putin. He didn't want to get involved in any. He was just too afraid of getting involved in a fight with Putin. So that's why he backed down. But he backed down twice on things where, not, I think with Russia that was an accident shooting down a commercial jetliner, but NATO countries should have gotten together and done something about it. And when Russia invaded the Ukraine and took Crimea, Obama should have acted. He didn't. He looked the other way and didn't arm Ukraine, refused to arm him. So let's take a look at that. I think we will at some point. If we're doing a quid pro quo investigation, wouldn't you think at some point you got to look at Joe Biden? If they keep saying there's no evidence of any wrongdoing, well, let's see.
Yeah.
I mean, just go over the timeline. Obama is put in charge of Ukraine by Obama. Obama says, you will run relations with Ukraine. Hunter Biden is suddenly given a no-show job, gets $8 million in total from this company. Company comes under investigation. Biden flies over there, gets the investigation killed, and the prosecutor fired. Is that all coincidence?
I don't see anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm not saying there's a law, there's an actual statute against it. I'm just saying it's clearly quid pro quo, obviously.
Well, I mean, that could be bribery, withholding U.S. aid to make sure your son gets paid.
Yeah, well, you can't say bribery with any of these things because everything is done that way every day in Washington. Every piece of legislation is held up. They withhold the legislation, yeah, the funding. They withhold federal grants to congressional districts. This is done every day by everybody in Congress and the White House. It's done constantly. They'll call the congressman. You know that grant you need for your district? Can I get your vote on it? It's done all the time. All the time. So you can't do the bribery. But you got to, I mean, it does need investigating. I mean, just think about this for a second. This kid, Hunter Biden, is the worst screw-up in America. He's thrown out of the military for drugs. He's sleeping with his brother's widow. Police pull him over, find a crack pipe, three driver's licenses, and a badge. I can go on and on with these things. He's been in nothing but trouble all his life. Does not speak a word of Ukrainian. A Ukraine oil company says, we need you for the board of directors. Has anybody ever gone to work at a company and started, first job, entry-level job, board of directors? and a board of directors, you could get sometimes a few bucks. It's more often it's you get use of the company plane or you get something like that. They'll pay your expenses. No, you don't go on a board of directors and get $80,000 a month plus an additional $3 million payment plus another $2 million payment. This does not take place on boards of directors. So clearly, this no-show job.
I'd like to see the bottom of that one. Yeah, of course.
So it does need investigating at some point. America is tuning out. We'll probably get the ratings a little later in the show on how much. The first day was 13 million. Second day was 12 million. I would assume yesterday 10, 11 million. We'll see a little later on. President Trump said for the first time ever he watched Vindman. Remember, he's never met Vindman, never heard of this guy, doesn't know who he is, but he actually watched him.
Vindman, I watched him for a little while.
Hey, by the way, listen, you can hear the cold. He's trying to cover it up, but you can hear his nasal.
Vindman, I watched him for a little while this morning, and I think I'm going to let people make their own determination, but I don't know Vindman. I never heard of him.
And I'm sure he had the same reaction that everybody had when they saw Vindman talk. This guy's in our military? This is our military?
I don't know him. I don't know, as he says, Lieutenant Colonel, I understand somebody had the misfortune of calling him Mr. and he corrected them. I never saw the man. I understand now he wears his uniform when he goes in. No, I don't know Vindman at all. What I do know is that even he said that the transcript was correct.
Yeah. Now, apparently, at one point, they put Vindman on guard duty, but they had to take him away because when somebody came in, all right, halt! It was no good. It didn't work. So, this Vindman, I don't know. I called him Newman before, Seinfeld. Newman. But Newman looks like a Floyd Mayweather compared to Vindman. So, I don't think this is going anywhere. And Sunderland's one of those guys. He owns a bunch of little hotels all over the place. I think he bought the Roosevelt Hotel here in Manhattan for a while.
He's got kind of an attitude up there about him.
Yeah, well, what happens is guys like him, make themselves many, many, many millions in the business world. And they're very good in the business world. They can buy a hotel. You can send them to the financial sheet. They can go to the meeting with the accountants. They can work with the construction. They're great. And after they've made their millions and the company's running and flowing, now they want to be in show business. So that's what happens. They all want to be in show business. And as somebody once said, politics is show business for ugly people. And that's where Sondland comes in. I think he kind of knows he's not going to have a big TV career. Nobody's going to hire him to be in movies. So a guy like that wants to be in politics. They think of running for office, but they can't really talk. They put people to sleep when they talk. So it's not for them. So he raised, I think it was $9 million. He's been doing this for a while, trying to get himself into politics. He raised a lot of money for Bush. Bush gave him some appointments. He did something for Biden once. Biden was raising money for some fundraiser. So he got involved with Biden on that. And with Trump, he gave about $9 million, raised and gave $9 million in. That's enough to buy you a good ambassadorship, not a great one. For $9 million, you're not getting France or Italy. So he ends up with Ukraine. And it's a chance to go over there and look important. You know, you're the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador. Now, I don't want to mention any names because some of them are friends of mine. But some of these guys are the schmuckiest guys. If you saw them, you wouldn't even talk to them. But they become the ambassador to such and such, and they have to be treated like royalty when they're over there. So that's the case of Sondland. They're stuck with him.
The big thing that he said here too is that he was following orders from Rudy.
Yeah.
So I think Rudy's going to get thrown under the bus here.
But there's nothing to be thrown on the bus for. Rudy does not break laws. Anybody that's been around Rudy.
No, he may have been freelancing over there.
Yes. He was absolutely, definitely freelancing over there, as every president's personal lawyer and civilian they send over there does. Roosevelt had a guy did it all the time for it. Somebody sent me the guy's name. I just forgot it again. Hubert or something, whatever his name was. And Hillary, of course, had Sidney Blumenthal freelancing all over the place, every country for her. It's not freelance, it's back channel stuff. That's really what it is, back channel. Obama did it, everybody does it. But the difference with Rudy, nobody knows the law better than him. Remember, this guy was the Deputy Attorney General of the United States for 10 years, U.S. Attorney for many years. He knows the law. So
I'm sure he does.
And he's anal about it. He does not break any laws. So you may be doing something you don't want him to do, or it's inappropriate, or it's not, but he didn't break any laws. So he can't go under the bus. There's no under the bus for him. So, Bernadette Castro will be with us later this hour. She was in Florida, and the president went to, remember he visited Ocala, Florida?
Mm-hmm.
So he got off the plane, and he asked them to find her.
Really?
Yeah, he wanted to meet with her. So we'll ask her what that was all about.
How about that?
So we'll get to that coming up. Check out the webpage. There's some great stuff up there. This is Jimmy Kimmel can do some funny stuff. He put together Obama announcing the bin Laden killing and President Trump announcing the, what the hell is that guy's name? Nobody can remember the guy's name.
Baghdadi.
Watch the two videos cut together. It's unbelievable the difference. Oh, we got, if you haven't seen The Irishman yet, here's some more scenes that haven't been released. Here's some new scenes you can look at from The Irishman. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
Listen to what you missed whenever you want. It's Mark Simone on demand. Catch his podcasts at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710WOR.
Well, they're already using the word bombshell testimony. Whenever you hear bombshell, that means nobody's going to remember it a week from now. The most important moment of yesterday's hearings was, of course, when the congressman accidentally said Mr. Vindman instead of Lieutenant Colonel.
Mr. Vindman, you testified in your deposition that you did not know the whistleblower.
Ranking member, it's Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, please.
Lieutenant Colonel Vindman.
Oh, I love this guy. Hey, it's Lieutenant Colonel. I love a nerd when they get mad. That's great. Let's go to Peter in Long Island. Hey, Peter.
Hey, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good.
I just listened to that quote about him being very upset about being called Mr. instead of Lieutenant Colonel.
Yeah.
I actually watched that part of the hearings yesterday. But shortly after, it was a Democrat that also referred to him as Mr., and he never corrected him.
There you go. This little worm, this biased little worm. Back to your cubicle, you little worm. Well, you know, I guarantee you, this guy is an absolute nobody in the White House. He's just a guy in a back cubicle. I guarantee you, everybody in the White House today is calling him Mr. They're putting Mr. signs all over his cubicle. That's what people do. You can imagine things are happening to him there. I would hope this guy gets fired and carried out of there because he's in a tough spot. That you know they build all these guys up. What a hero! This is a brave, courageous man to come out and testify like this. Then they find out it didn't move the needle at all. In fact, it moved the needle more towards Trump. So then they hate the guy. And let's be honest. Listen to this Vindman. Take a look at him. You're going to give him a TV contract? I don't think so.
He's getting nothing.
I don't think so. Can you picture Jake Tapper say, Mr. Oh, Lieutenant Colonel. Lieutenant Colonel, what do you think about this?
Well, you know, I think...
So he's not getting any TV contract. He's not going to be doing any speeches. Thank God he was behind a desk. If you see this guy full length in that uniform, he looks like such a Gomer Pyle dunce. That
hey, he made it up to Lieutenant Colonel. He must have done something right.
Well, you know, listen, becoming officers can be very political. If you play the game right, you can go up to Lieutenant Colonel. But I've been getting tons of email from military guys saying this is the problem. You got a lot of Lieutenant Colonels like this guy. So he did get a Purple Heart. But remember, John Kerry, as John McCain used to say, John Kerry got 3 Purple Hearts without ever spending a night in sick bay. Vindman, in his case, there was an IUV that went off, and he was in an armored vehicle that hit. So I think he got a little piece of shrapnel or something. But he was never actually seriously injured in any way. But he did get a Purple Heart, and he got the, you look at his chest. He's got meritorious this, and he's got that. I noticed there's like NYPD medals on there, and he's got like his Boy Scout things. He's got that Weebelos thing on there. He's got everything on this uniform.
Weebelos.
What was there? Was something close?
Yeah, there was a Boy Scout thing. The Weebelos.
You were a Cub Scout, then you were a Boy Scout, and then the highest thing was Weebelos, which none of us ever lived to see. Speaking of which, Jeffrey Epstein never lived to see all of this.
No,
it looks like he clearly he was killed. The 2 guards, I think, were paid off to. I don't think they killed him. I think the 2 guards were paid to look the other way, not check and leave everything open. They have been arrested. They've been charged with conspiracy and all kinds of things. They will go to jail unless they talk and start talking about who did what. No one, nothing has leaked out about who they think it is. Is it the British covering up for Prince Andrew? Is it the Clintons? Is it some wealthy guy who was there in Jeffrey Epstein's house? You know, they all know that in the end, you can't trust Epstein. He'll talk. I mean, he looks like a guy if he was facing...
Well, what about these guys? Aren't they going to talk?
Yeah, these guys have a problem because what do? They can't, you know, they can't go to prison because they're prison guards. You know what happens to prison guards when they go to prison? Also, whoever they would talk about clearly is pretty good at killing people in prison. So these guys have a problem. They got to get witness protection or something. So anyway, we'll talk to Bernadette Castro about her experience with the president coming up in a moment. On 710 WOR, let's get the latest news. Here's Joe Bart.
It's the Mark Simone Show.
710 WOR.
Well, Bernadette Castro, of course, a name all New Yorkers know, a big name in the business world, the political world, one of our great public servants here in New York, and one of our favorite guests. Bernadette Castro, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Mark. How are you doing?
Very good. So the president visits Ocala, Florida, and gets off the plane, and he asks them to find you. Is that correct?
You know, it is correct. And I'll tell you, I have known President Trump for decades, and we are really good friends. We're kind of like brother-sister kind of friends. But here's the strange thing. I haven't seen or spoken with him since he became president, really because I haven't tried, and he's so busy, there's no way. But he knows Ocala's been my second home for over 50 years.
Yeah.
I love it. It's the well-kept secret of Florida. If you own thoroughbred horses or any kind of horses, you know about it. But if you don't, you don't know about it. So why did he fly into Ocala National Airport, International Airport? He was going to speak at the Villages. And to fly into Orlando, it would have been very disruptive.
Yeah.
So Ocala's airport, even though it's not commercial, takes all the big jets because they ship thoroughbred horses to Dubai. Ah. They bring horses from Europe. So it's a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's 40 minutes from the Villages, right?
Yeah, and a horse goes in a big jet. You have to have a big private. You're not going to get the horse in a little Gulfstream.
No, you can't. And so had I known he was going to stop in Ocala, I would have flown down there.
Yeah.
You know, still my life is New York, number one. But it was so kind of him. Yeah, he got off the plane and said, so where's Bernadette Castro? And it was so cute. What I love about Donald Trump is because I've known him so long, and I think this is what America loves about him, the Trump fans.
Yeah.
He is who he is. He's transparent. He's what he says in his tweets, which I wish he didn't tweet as much, but what he says in his tweets and at his rallies, all politicians say behind closed doors to their inner circle. So he treats everybody like the inner circle. He shouldn't do that.
Okay, but you got to stop. You got to stop with that. He shouldn't tweet.
He shouldn't tweet.
He should tweet more.
He should tweet more, but he should probably think about some of the tweets.
Not for a second.
Okay, that's because you love it. But,
no, because but, you, know, you but, are you are your typical great, classic, classy, great dignity, graceful public servant.
Oh, wow.
That's not him. You can't be what you're not.
Yeah, but he's also a classy guy. I mean, he's a classy guy.
In his actions, but the way he conducts himself is like a regular guy. That's how he talks.
Right, and he's street smart for sure. And, you know, he's really self-made. I mean, I'm tired of people saying, you know, his father, Fred, set him up entirely.
Yeah.
Fred Trump was a great man, and he certainly was self-made. But Donald built the Trump Organization.
Yeah.
It was not anything near like it is today. His dad may have launched him, but rich parents launch a lot of kids, and they don't end up with a Trump Organization.
No, look at Hunter Biden.
No, but now Hunter Biden, you keep slamming this kid. All right, here's the thing. If he were clean, if he never got into trouble, if he were a great lawyer or whatever, it's still wrong what he did. It has nothing to do with his personal issues of a, you know, substance abuse or all of his issues. He's got a lot of them. What he did was so unethical, and shame on Joe Biden for allowing it to happen.
Yeah, now
you know, this is the problem. Joe Biden's been a politician too long. And they forget what to look for. I mean, I don't want to talk about the Clintons because, you know, but let me tell you something that Pete King said that's a little relevant to Bill Clinton. And I respect Pete King, and I'm sorry he's not running again, but it's okay. What he said is, I'm not leaving until 2020. I'm finishing my term. If impeachment comes up for a vote, I'm voting against it just as I voted against Bill Clinton's impeachment. Impeachment is so serious, and it is, in my opinion, abuse of congressional power. I mean, first they went after the president. Okay, what he did was so wrong, and it was abuse of presidential power. Well, that didn't work. Now they're on to bribery?
Well,
are they out of their minds?
Hey, wait a minute. You've been in government. Every piece of legislation, everything, everybody's calling everybody. You want that federal grant? Well, then you have to, I need your vote. That goes on every day, right?
Of course. Of course. You know, people should go back and watch the movie on Lincoln. What he negotiated with both sides and the deals he made to pass his legislation. Unbelievable.
Hey, so when you were in government, if there was something you were regulating and your kids said to you, they've just asked me to go on the board of directors, wouldn't you say, you know, you can't do that right now? It wouldn't look right?
Of course. And George Pataki would have done it in a heartbeat. I mean, the governor was so strict. I mean, you know, we couldn't accept tickets to a sporting event. Okay? I mean, you know, if you have a sense of ethics, when you're in office, you know, the president's only there 8 years. Okay? You got to be really careful. You're only there 8 years. So you got to watch everything you say and everything you do. But here's what President Trump has done, which he probably wouldn't do over again. He fired too many people because he treated it like the private sector
too
much. When you fire someone, whether private or public sectors, they're not going to be your fan anymore. They will jump at every opportunity they can to slam you.
Well, that's a good point, yeah.
In government, we try, those of us that know the system, not to fire people. You know, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. So you're just cautious. Yeah. Because you don't want to spin people out of your inner circle, do you? That know all these private things you've said and ideas you've had. You know, but it's very bothersome to me, and I hope the American people see through this. I love this guy, Republican Jim Jordan from Ohio. I don't know if you saw any.
I love Jim Jordan, but let's start a GoFundMe to buy him a jacket.
Ah, poor Jim Jordan.
Put a coat on.
Yeah, but I kind of like this guy. You know, he was a wrestler on the wrestling team and a wrestling coach.
You ever see him in real life? He's like 4'9". I don't know who the hell he was wrestling.
Vin? Well, wrestlers don't have to be tall.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
No. And plus the fact he goes to law school, but he goes, I'm not taking the bar. I love that. Goes through law school, doesn't sit for the bar, but that's fine. He's making so much common sense. And I thought Morrison and Volcker were very straightforward and said the truth. They had no idea what was going on. They heard the call. They didn't think there was anything wrong, nor did the president of Ukraine. Nobody thought there was anything wrong.
Well, there wasn't anything
wrong.
Isn't
that enough?
It was fine. Hey, we're out of time, but let me just to clear this up. So the president goes to Ocala. He knows you live there, and he asked them to find you. So I thought you were there. You weren't there.
No, I was in New York.
Oh.
And had I been there, of course I would have been, hopefully, at the gang, you know, at the stairs from Air Force One, greeting him. I really like Donald Trump as a person, and I respect him for what he's accomplished.
I know. Don't tweet.
Yeah. Oh. Could we just temper our tweets? That's my new word. O-T, temper our tweets.
So he asked for you, and then a bunch of guys must have scurried around getting on the phone. Where is he? Where is he looking for you?
Yeah, well, the mayor's a good friend of mine and the county commissioners that were there. And so they posted immediately on their Facebooks. And the Ocala Star banner put, of course, him on the front page. And like in the second paragraph, you know, President Trump asked for Bernadette Castro, which was so darn nice of him. But see, that's how he is. He's very genuine, as his kids are. Like, I have spoken to Eric and Donnie Jr. recently, like last spring.
He is.
I love these guys.
He's very genuine, as his tweets are.
Oh, gosh. I think I'm going to lose this one with you.
All right. Well, Bernadette Castro, we always love talking to you, and keep up all the good work. And
thanks, Mark.
Thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. You have a great day.
All right. Take care. And everybody check out the webpage. There's some good stuff up there. Hey, when Obama announced the killing of bin Laden and President Trump announced the killing of whatever the hell the guy's name was, watch the two of them cut together. Watch the difference in the way they spoke. I know if you say, I don't like the way he tweets. Well, this is a good example. This is hysterical, this video, when you see the two of them cut together. Also, if you're waiting to see The Irishman, we got some more scenes that haven't been seen yet. You'll see these for the first time if you haven't seen the movie. Some scenes from The Irishman. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.